Jordan, Wee Geordie, and the dog set off down the corridor together. He was glad Gawain hadn't volunteered to go with him. In some strange way, he felt this was a personal business between him and the two ghosts. They had helped him when he needed it, and now he would help them. Perhaps because he needed to believe he was worthy of the trust Wee Geordie had placed in him. He glanced unobtrusively at the young boy and the bloodhound as they padded at his side. The boy had scruffy hair and dust marks on his face. The dog was molting. It was hard to accept that they were both really dead, and that what walked so casually at his side were really nothing more than memories made flesh and bone. Jordan's gaze settled on Wee Geordie. All those years spent searching for a mother who died centuries before. All the long years wandering endlessly through bleak stone corridors, looking for someone, anyone, who would simply sit and talk with him instead of running away. Jordan's throat tightened, and he swore silently to himself that come what may, he'd do whatever it took to reunite Wee Geordie and his mother. He glanced at the boy and the dog one last time, and then stared resolutely straight ahead. They soon reached the old museum, and Jordan frowned. The brass plaque on the door looked like it hadn't been polished in years. The room beyond was dark and gloomy. Jordan took a torch from the nearest wall holder and led the way in. The museum was a large, spacious, dusty room. All four walls were covered with tightly packed bookshelves. The carpet was dry and hard underfoot, and the smeared windows looked as though they hadn't been opened in years, never mind cleaned. Jordan didn't know what the new museum might be like, but it was clear no one had visited the old museum in a long time. Presumably, the ever-present ghosts more than filled the castle population's interest in the past. A large plain table stood alone in the middle of the room, bearing a number of exhibits in fly-specked glass cases. Jordan moved over to study them. Wee Geordie and the bloodhound trailed along after him. The boy was staring around him with wide eyes, but didn't seem interested in anything in particular. Jordan concentrated on the exhibits before him and carefully wiped some of the dust from the glass cases with his sleeve. The first case held a severed human hand, carefully stuffed and mounted. Spidery handwriting on a card at the base of the display case said simply, "Rocker's Bane." Jordan shrugged. The name didn't ring any bells. The next case held an ornate silver goblet crusted with semi-precious stones. Just looking at it made Jordan's fingers twitch hungrily. He forced the thought aside and concentrated on the display card. Sebastian's Chalice. Jordan shook his head, none the wiser. The next case held a slender silver knife, the hilt covered in tiny etched runes and glyphs, too small to be read with the unaided eye. The card said simply, "The Starlight Duke's Dagger." Jordan's breath caught in his throat. He might not recognize any of the other exhibits, but this, the legendary Starlight Duke, had founded Hillsdown some 600 years ago. Children learned his life story at school, and the rulers of Hillsdown were still called Duke rather than King in honor of the great and famous man. And here was his dagger. His dagger! It had to be worth a fortune. Jordan shook his head slightly and moved on. He didn't dare take anything but the locket. Too many people had known he was coming here, unfortunately. The next case held a simple gold locket on a rolled gold chain. Jordan studied it for a long time before looking at the card. It said simply, "Lady Mary's Locket." Jordan slipped his torch into a nearby holder and carefully lifted up the glass cover. He put the glass carefully to one side and then picked up the locket and chain. He felt more than saw Wee Geordie crowding in beside him, but he didn't look away from the locket. It was very light in his hand, and the oval locket opened easily once he found the clasp. Inside were two perfect miniature portraits. The one on the left showed a young boy with thin, pinched features and straw-colored hair. The right-hand portrait showed a beautiful young woman. She had long blonde hair that fell in curls and ringlets to her bare shoulders. Her high cheekbones and pale blue eyes gave her a cold, almost harsh look, but her smile was warm and loving. Lady Mary of Fenbrook, dead and buried these past 200 years. Jordan took a deep breath and turned and crouched beside Wee Geordie. He held the open locket so that the boy could see both portraits.
"That's me!" Do you recognize the woman?
That's my mother. I told you she was beautiful.
He reached out a hesitant hand to touch the portrait, then lowered his hand again and just looked at the calm, serene face.
Mother, I've been looking for you for such a long time.
Tears stung Jordan's eyes again, and he fought them back. It wouldn't do for the boy to see him so upset. He looked around for the dog and started slightly on finding that the animal had moved silently up on his other side without him noticing. He straightened up and held the locket before the dog's nose. Jordan looked hard at the dog, and the animal stared back at him with old, wise eyes.
We need you to find wee Geordie's mother.
Jordan had no idea how much, if any, of what he was saying the dog understood, but there was something about the ghost dog that suggested he understood a great deal in his way. He looked unblinkingly at Jordan, then at wee Geordie, and then he lifted his great head into the air. He just wagged his tail and headed purposefully for the open door. Geordie hurried after him. Jordan tossed the locket back onto its stand and hurried after the two ghosts. The bloodhound made his way unhesitatingly down the corridor, looking neither to the left nor to the right. He held his head high, and there was a calm certainty in his sad eyes and untiring gait. Wee Geordie walked close beside him, his gaze fixed hopefully on the dog. The animal turned into a side corridor, padded down the narrow passageway for a while, and then chose another turning. Its calm decisiveness was an eerie spectacle in itself, and Jordan's hackles stirred uneasily on the back of his neck. The bloodhound led them on, and they followed it through corridors and passageways, upstairs and down, along rotundas, and in and out of countless doors. And still the dog didn't hesitate in its stride, only stopping when it needed Jordan to open a door for it. The bloodhound headed down one gloomy passage after another, following a trail only he could detect. The trail came to a sudden end at a blank wall that sealed off a deserted passageway. Jordan looked down at the ghost of wee Geordie and searched for something comforting to say. To have come all this way and for nothing. The dog had lost the trail, if it had ever really found it in the first place. Jordan stared helplessly at the blank wall. It had been a hell of a long shot anyway, when all was said and done, and it was really no surprise that it hadn't paid off. But he'd had such hopes. And what was he going to tell the boy? What could he tell him? That he'd picked the wrong person to trust?
Geordie, I... That is...
What's that?
What?
On the wall. It looks funny.
It looks like... Under this plaster is a door. Let me just chip away here.
The brittle plaster cracked and fell away in flakes, revealing the outline of a sealed-over door.
Oh, no.
What?
There's no handle. Plus, the thing's surely locked, not to mention stuck fast. But don't worry, Geordie. We'll come back soon, with some more men and axes and crowbars.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
It's been a long time since I last came this way. A long time. I'd forgotten all about this door. But I'll remember it now.
Wee Geordie stared hard at the door, almost as if he were looking through it to the other side. The plaster cracked and crumbled, and the outlines of the door were starkly revealed. The old lock suddenly burst apart.
See? Open.
I can see. Once again, I'm glad we're on the same side, little guy.
An old, musty smell issued from the dark hallway beyond. The bloodhound padded confidently forward, and Wee Geordie followed him into the gloom. Jordan put away his knife and went after them. The hallway had clearly been deserted for some time, but there was something about the dark, echoing hall that suggested it had been not so much forgotten as abandoned. All the furniture and trappings were still in place, though covered by a thick layer of grime and dust. Tapestries and portraits hung on the walls, while lamps and torches stood unlit in their holders. Jordan was tempted to light some of them with his torch, but didn't. He felt as though he was walking through the past, and he didn't want to disturb anything. Wee Geordie and the bloodhound pressed on, and Jordan had to hurry to catch up to them.
I remember this place. I used to come here with my mother. It was a shortcut, but it didn't look like this. Everything's so old and dusty. How long is it since I was last here? I can't remember. There's so much I don't remember anymore.
He didn't look to Jordan for an answer to this question. Jordan couldn't have answered him anyway. His throat was closed by a pity so intense it was almost pain. A long time ago, something terrible must have happened. Something that ended in the deaths of Lady Mary and her son, Geordi. Perhaps they were both murdered here in this hallway. The odds were he'd never know the whole story. All he knew for certain was an impotent rage at the injustice of a young child condemned to wander lost and alone for centuries, knowing only that somehow he had become separated from his mother. The bloodhound stopped suddenly. Jordan's heart sank, and he looked ahead of him for another obstacle. But as far as he could see, the way ahead was clear. He held his torch high, and the hall stretched away silent and empty for as far as the light carried. And then Jordan's hackles rose as he suddenly realized he'd been walking down the hall for quite some time, and there was still no sign of it ending. He began to wonder just how far the hallway stretched and where exactly it led to. The dog's tail started to wag furiously. It sat down and stared ahead into the gloom. Geordi stood beside the bloodhound, his face open and yearning. A light appeared in the distance and slowly began to move toward them. Jordan felt very cold, and his hands began to tremble. He was near to something strange and magical, in a place where he should not be. Part of him wanted to turn and run, but he couldn't. He watched, fascinated, as the light grew nearer, and wondered from what far boundaries that light had come. It grew steadily brighter, and began to take on a vague shape. Wee Geordi and the dog didn't move at all. The light slowly formed into the glowing figure of a young woman with long blonde hair and pale blue eyes. She shone so brightly it hurt to look at her, but Jordan couldn't look away. She was awesome and terrible and wonderful beyond words. She stopped a few yards away and held out her hands to Geordi, and in her smiling face there was all the love in the world.
Mother!
Geordi ran forward to join his mother at long last, and the bloodhound went with him. It looked back once for Jordan's approval, and he nodded quickly. The boy and the mother fell into each other's arms.
Oh, Mother, I've missed you so much.
I've missed you too, wee Geordi. Now hold tight, dear.
Goodbye, Geordi. Goodbye, Hound. Rest easy, my friends.